If you got a Bible, let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Direct ripoff of Lowe's right there. Church, let's build something together. We're going to look at let's build community is what we're on today. How many's there? Those still searching, we're going to wait. We have looked at let's build compassion. We have looked at let's build confidence. And now today, let's build community. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Hey, you've heard this before, just a few minutes ago. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, the gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no longer a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but you will have no portion, nor right, nor memorial within Jerusalem. Father, we would ask and pray for your precious, sovereign Holy Spirit to continue to rest upon this service. Lord, I thank you, God, for the anointing that you placed upon my life to preach and teach your word. And God, I'm thankful for the anointing that's on this congregation to hear and receive this word. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, Floyd Craddock, who was basically a teacher and a trainer of pastors and preachers, he was in the Great Smoky Mountains. And there he was doing a conference. And at the close of one of those days, he by himself, he went to a restaurant. And there while he was eating, he seen an elderly man that was going from table to table. And he was talking to people. And just real charismatic guy. Had a smile on his face. Just you could tell he was good with people. And he finally got around to the table where Floyd Craddock was at. And he said, can I sit down? And Floyd said, go right ahead. And he took a seat and he asked him, he said, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm a preacher and I teach preachers to pastor and to teach and things of that nature. And that man said, I've got an interesting story about a preacher you need to hear. He said, well, what is it? And he told about his childhood, how he was born out of wedlock and how the town made fun of him. He went to school, they made fun of him. Everywhere he went, he heard snide remarks made about him as a little boy. And one place to where he could go, to where he felt a little bit of safety, was he went to the local church. And he would sit on the back, he would hear the sermon, and the moment the sermon was over, he got out the door. He wanted just so much contact because he had been burnt so many times by so many different people. But on one of them occasions that he was there, this man preaching the sermon gave the altar call and this young man came forward and was prayed for and he asked Jesus to be his Savior. And he wasn't able, of course, to get out the back like he did every other service. He was there and people was around him and talking to him. And he was just waiting to hear somebody talk and mention that how he was illegitimate, how he'd heard that all of his life. Made his way to the back. Nobody had said anything to him about that. And he gets up there and there the big preacher was standing. And the big preacher put out his hand and the kid reached his hand in there and the preacher kind of pulled him to him and said, I know whose boy you are. And that kid just froze. He'd heard it all before. What's he going to say? What's this man going to say to me? I don't know whose boy you are. You belong to the Heavenly Father. You're his child.
Amen.
You belong to this family. And that elderly gentleman was telling this story to Floyd Craddock, and he told him, he said, that experience changed my life. Amen. I knew I was part of a family. And he got to go, he got to get up and to go to another table. And Craddock, the preacher, said, by the way, what's your name? And he goes, well, I'm Ben Hooper. And Craddock's jaw fell, and he said, Ben Hooper? There was a Ben Hooper who was governor of this state of Tennessee. And he goes, that's me. It's important for people to know they're loved and to be plugged in.
Amen.
Community. Community. One of the most important things that we can build within anybody once they come into this church is to know that they are a part of something much bigger than themselves. And that they are part of something to where they are loved and they are belonging to and that they are needed. I was in Evansville Thursday and I noticed on all the cop cars, and it wasn't like, you know, the cops were all around me or anything, but I noticed a few cop cars in the run of that day. And they all had the same thing on the side of the cop cars in partnership with the community. And I've got to ask you that. Are you in partnership with the community? If not, why not? Because God has not called any of us to be Lone Ranger. God called us all to work together, to come together, to get the job done. One of the greatest TV shows, whether you like it or not, I'm telling you, it's one of the few shows I've ever seen in my life that I can watch it and laugh, and I've seen the episode 5 times, and I still laugh. Seinfeld. And I think one of the reasons why people are so connected, and that thing was so over the top successful, community. Those people were like a family. They belonged to somebody. They belonged together. And I believe that any church that has that, that church will grow and prosper. In 1979, anybody know who won the World Series? The Pirates. What was their theme song? We are family. That's right. Another trivia question. Who sang that song? Sister, who said that? Who got that right? Sister Sledge. We are family. It is something about being part of a community, part of the family. John Wooden coached at UCLA. He coached 15 years before they ever won a championship. But people wanted to go play, not so they could play at UCLA, no, so they could play for Coach Wooden. Because you were like a part of his family, and you are part of something that was great, and people wanted to be a part of that, even though it meant hardship, even though you had to have your nose to the grindstone, and he made you work out, he made you do what needed to be done. I heard a story by Bill Walton, who was an all-star center that played there for UCLA. He said his junior year, he was all American, and everybody knew who he was, and they won the championship, and he said over the season, in the summer months, he grew a beard. Well, I'm Bill Walton. I don't care what the rules are. I'm growing. This is what I want. I want a beard. Came to the practice. They had the practice. He's getting ready to be in the practice, and Coach Wooden said, Bill, you know my policy. Can't have a beard and play ball for me. Bill Walton said, hey, I'm All-American. And what's so bad about this? You're going to have to accept it. He said, Bill, we're all going to miss you. And Walton said, I ran to the locker room to get a razor. He wanted to play for Wooden because they felt something so great and vital about them being a family, being a community. And I tell you, as far as myself and how I am, I just can't stand the prima donna point of view that so many people have in America that, oh, well, I'm here. I mean, it can't start until I'm here. Here I am, and oh, it's all about me. I absolutely can't stand that. Because the family is bigger and greater than that, and it destroys any sense of community. Amen. Oh, no, I'm here. It can't run without me. I've got to be here. It destroys community. We are all working together. There is no big eyes and little you in the family of God. We're all in this together. We need team players. We need team players at Orchardville Church. As a matter of fact, I've been a little bit surprised down through the years at the number of people that have trouble with that concept. There have been people that I figure wouldn't be exactly on board with that, but they have trouble with that concept. We need people to be part of the whole, part of the community, not, well, here I am. One guy said there's no I in the word team. Matter of fact, I'll tell you who said this. My boy's basketball coach. He said, there's no I in the word team. And Josh said, yeah, but there's me in there. Now, that's not good. That's not good. We build community through serving and being served. We build community through knowing and being known. We build community through loving and being loved. Yeah, preacher, there's preachers on TV that's a lot better than you. I know there are. But you can't have any community with them. That's right. That's right. Yeah, but well, they just look perfect and act perfect. They got warts like everybody else, I guarantee you. It's because they're super duper on TV don't mean they look like that and act like that at home. That's right. That's right. We build community through knowing and being known. You get around me very long, you're going to see, yeah, preacher's got warts. Been around me very long, I hate to say it, but I'm going to get mad. But yet, my temper is a lot better than it was 30 years ago. Amen. That's right. That's right. There you go. Somebody asked about the kids, and I said, well, the kids got their temper from me, because Kate still got hers. That's right. But what I've known, for me to be able to work with people, I can't blow up every time it just don't go exactly like I want it to go. I've had to learn that. Or else you just run everybody off and nobody want to work with you. So this is something that God has had to temper in and work on my temper. And if I've heard Grandma say it once, I've heard her say it I don't know how many times. Oh, that shell temper. That shell temper. And it's something that God has had to deal with me on, but community is known through knowing and being known, through loving and being loved, through serving and being served. In John chapter 13 with Jesus and the disciples, the greatest among them was the one that washed all the others' feet. It's through serving and being served. Now, let's get to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the moment they said, we're going to build the wall, and the moment they started building that wall was the moment the enemy struck. You can't do that. You can't get the job done. That'll never work for you. God may call somebody else, but he'd never call you. They laughed. They despise, but I'm telling you, Nehemiah is a he is a study of a character, how you put up with people that's difficult to be around. How many has to put up with people difficult to be around? Nehemiah is a guy that'll show you how to do that. He does not get down and dirty with them just because they want to get down and dirty. He doesn't do it. He continues working and doing what he's doing. I'm at this level and juncture in my life. I will not and I refuse to get in a fight with a skunk because I'm never going to win that fight. You're never going to come out on top on that fight. It's never going to work out good for you. And there, I said it a few weeks ago, there are always going to be people that's going to say, I don't like who you are. I don't like what you did. What are they doing? They're trying to get some type of reaction out of it. There are times, 90% of the time, it's better to go to a higher level and a higher standard and not debase yourself down to that level. Sanballat, his name means sin is my life. Tobiah, his name means God is good. You two-faced, you. You ever met somebody like that? Usually they, and this is whether they know it or not, this is an act of condescension. I know people that do that. What you're doing is so great. I can't stand that guy. Tobiah. God is so good in doing what's going on there. I hope that thing fails. And then Geshem, his name means rain, as in rain on your parade. And again, these three guys is trying to drag Nehemiah down and away from what he's doing, but he's not going to do it. And I'm telling you where this guy is at. He knows that he is not going to hurt the work of God by stopping and going and fighting somebody over the work of God. He's just going to continue doing what he's doing. I pledge to this church and to you as a whole never to do anything to this church that's going to hurt this church or hurt the work of God as a whole. I want to keep this thing going. I want to keep this thing going. And there are always going to be Sanballats and Tobias and Geshems. There are always going to be people like that. And because of that and because of people like that in your life, I know it is imperative for you to come to the church house and get built up in the things of God. You do not need a pastor that the sky is falling and it always works for another church and it never works for... I know preachers like this. I feel sorry for their congregations that they pastor. It's never going to work. I don't know why we did it like that. They're crying and down and out every service and then wondering why their church is not lifted up. Come on. That dog may used to hunt, but that dog don't hunt anymore. There's a lot of down and out, stressed out people, and they need to go to the house of God and get built back up for the week ahead of them because there's going to be some Sanballats and Tobias and Geshems that's going to stand in your face and try to get you down, but you need the strength of God for you to be able to overcome. Amen. Now, we're either pulling together or we're falling apart. Think of that. We're either pulling together or we're falling apart. Now, I got a question. No, I'm going to let you ask this question. And once again, I'm going to go way over here. Is this all right if I go way over here? I need to go way over here. Preacher, what about these stones that are not part? Of this wall. What about it? They were made to be part of the wall. That's what they're made for. They're not made. The ideal reason why they make stones and bricks is not to throw them through somebody's window. They're not made for that. They're made to be part of something bigger. You were made to be part of a community, the body of Christ as a whole. You were not made just to be able to do your own thing. Thank you for them for all rights. This thing is made to be part of the whole. Years ago, Bill J. Bruce, where's Bill J.'s right up there. Bill J. preached the message in the other building, And it was just so vivid to me when he said it. He said, let's say that this building is made out of concrete blocks. And let's say, for instance, that, and he pointed over that way, that that block right there is gone. And you could see right through the wall outside. Would the wall still stand? Yes, the wall would still stand. But there would be a flaw in it, and it wouldn't be quite as good as normal. And what would happen with the one stone that's out of place? It's not fulfilling its purpose. Yeah, but I got mad. Yeah, but they didn't do it like I want. Yeah, but it just ain't going like I think it ought to be going. You're not fulfilling your purpose when you're out here on your own. Amen. I believe that. I believed it before I'm a pastor. I believe it as a pastor. You're not fulfilling and doing what God called you to do, being out there by yourself. Amen. Amen. Now, why preach like this? Why even bring this out? And all it is, I'm trying to motivate people to get you to do something for the kingdom of God. Sound like manipulation to me? No, it's not. Manipulation is me trying to get you to do something for me. That's manipulation. On any and every on every case and level, that's what manipulation is. The person talking, trying to get you to do something for them. I'm trying to get you to do something for the kingdom of God. That's motivation. I've had pastors that's motivated me. I want to be able to do exactly the same thing because we are not a living and a lively stone out here all by ourselves. We are part of a wall, part of something much bigger than ourselves by ourselves. Now, community, C-O-M-M, calm, unity, with unity. My kids made fun of me every time I ever did this, but I did it because they got mad every time, made fun every time. Unity is you and I tie. That's unity. That's unity. It's not me doing my own thing. It's not you doing your own thing. And the Bible says in Psalms 133 that God commands the blessing where? Where there's unity. And from there, the blessing of heaven flows down like the dew and the rain there of Hermon, Chris and Mary Ann, or maybe the mountain of Hermon. I don't know which one he meant there. But it flows down, and then it covers over Aaron's beard and onto his chest, onto his loins, and drops down onto his toes. He is fully covered because of unity. Unity. We build community through loving and being loved. We build community through serving and being served. We build community through knowing and being known. 34 years ago, I was born again, and I became part of a huge family. And the little thought that a little imp put within my mind before I ever went forward, if you go forward, you'll never have any friends. That's been a big lie. That's been a monstrous lie because I have more friends now than I would have ever had without being in the family of God. James chapter 5 says we're to pray for one another. Hebrews chapter 13 says we're to exhort one another. John 13 says love one another. 1 Corinthians 12 says care for one another. Ephesians 4 says, be kind to one another. Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another. Why? We're building community, that's why. We're all in this together. There's an old song, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Amen to that. The community of God, the community of the church, and we're building unity in that. I need... Chester, I need you to stand right up here. I need John Mayberry, stand up right where you're at. I need Bobby Mooney, stand up right where you're at. All right, I want you guys to take 10 steps this way toward Chester. You stay here. 10 steps. All right, I want you to take 5 more. I want you to take 3 more. I want you to take 4 more. I want you to take 2 more. I want you to take... John's going to win. Take 2 more. 1 more. Right there. The closer they get to Chester, the closer they get to each other. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to each other. Community, 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 working together for the common good of winning people for Jesus. Community. Thank God. Let's all stand. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Also, we had Seeds of Faith. They had their camp this week. I'm thankful for them and that effort. Praise God. Also, Jeff, he's here from Centray to help us out today. We appreciate him. Let's all bow our heads, please. Father, I am asking and praying, dear God, that this word does not fall upon hard ground, but Lord, it falls upon ground that is ready. It's been tilled up and it's been worked, and it's ready for that seed to go within it. Lord, all of these things that we're going to look at, from compassion to confidence to community, and right on down the line we go, it's to build this thing up. It's to build this wall. For Lord, as Christians, we're saved and the temple is there, but many times the wall has been destroyed. And we need those walls built. We need that protection within our life. Build that within us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, as they sing, Spirit of God's leading you and prompting you. We want you up here. You make that vow and dedication to Him. Come on. Come on. Ashamed, I hear my
It is our prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677.
I saw Jesus.